So, police killed in the line of duty. How often do police use deadly force? There was an attempt to collect data on police use of excessive force through a bill passed in 1994. The data was supposed to be collected by the International Association of Chiefs of Police, but it hasn't produced a report since 2001, and an FBI list is incomplete. But just before Congress ended this year's session, lawmakers passed a new bill, sponsored by Democratic Congressman Bobby Scott of Virginia and John Conyers of Michigan, that will require all law enforcement agencies receiving federal criminal justice grants to report deaths caused by police. And our next guest has proposed a bill that would expand that to include information on police. Tennessee Democratic Congressman Steve Cohen is a member of the House Judiciary Committee. Congressman, welcome.
Nice to be with you.
Tell us why you think this is needed.
Data needs to be clear for people to understand and to see if there is a problem. I believe there is, but some people don't. And I think data would shine light on it and make people see whether there's a problem in excessive force and whether or not it's particularly racial in its effects.
Well, and what would you be looking for? Because the previous bill was looking for excessive force. Even using that phrase has a connotation. So what are you looking for?
What our bill would look at is both the demographics of the officer as well as the victim. So we can see if they are, in fact, racial, if there's more white-on-black killings on law enforcement. There is a feeling in the African-American community that institutional racism is present and that African-Americans are more likely to be the victims of excessive and unnecessary force. Only statistics can put this to rest and give us a conclusion that we can maybe then act on.
Let's say that's a white officer who happens to work in a high crime area that's inhabited by a lot of African Americans. That really doesn't tell you anything, they might say, about that officer's decision.
Well, it might not on that one case, but when you take all the cases in the country together, which is over 100 a year, I think you can draw some conclusions. And I think that if they are, in fact, preponderant number of African Americans who are victims and a preponderant number of Caucasian officers who are using deadly force, and you could factor in the number of Caucasian versus African American members of a department in each area to see if there is an excessive use. You know, you get Ferguson, Missouri, they have hardly any black officers. That's another issue. But in that case, it's hard to say if it's all whites who would be using deadly force because there are no black officers apparently, or just a handful. But you could ascertain that through statistics and then looking further. And you ask the law enforcement people to give their rationale, and I think that's important too.
But what about some of the systemic issues that you just raised? Not enough people of the same color of the neighborhoods they patrol is one. Ben Jealous, the former president of the NAACP, wrote in an op-ed in the Baltimore Sun this month that Congress should not only implement mandatory use of force training, but body cameras, independent prosecutors when there is a police incident so that it's not the prosecutor who has worked alongside the officer for years who has to prosecute the case. What about focusing on some of those issues as opposed to the collecting of data, which may not tell you?
Oh, I think we need to focus on the issues that Ben Jealous raises as well. And in fact, we have a bill we're working on to always have an independent prosecutor. That's an inherent conflict of interest for the DA, who generally prosecutes this type of crime and always has law enforcement officers as witnesses. And the DAs are lax to prosecute a law enforcement person.
Do you at all worry that this kind of accounting might further erode the relationship between police and citizens? Police are feeling that because of a handful of incidents that have become very public, they are all being painted with the same brush.
And that's unfortunate. I was a police attorney for 2.5 years in the beginning of my career. I understand police. I understand the dangers. And I am very pro-police. But at the same time, I'm pro-good police. And if there's a bad policeman who acts uses unnecessary force, they need to be disciplined too. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did the best job I've seen of really explaining this situation, talked about institutional racism. His father and his grandfather were both policemen. And he said, just because you try to ferret out the bad police doesn't mean you're anti-police, just like if you ferret out the priests who were engaged in pederasty. That doesn't mean you're against Catholicism or the church. You need to have a system that can ferret out people who don't fit and don't do right and don't make the profession look good. As far as the relationship between the community and the police, it's already at bad stages in the African-American community. And the majority of people in my district are African-American, and they don't feel comfortable. And I don't think a lot of places in this country do they feel comfortable with police. And so you could only improve it by ferreting out bad apples. Most cops are great people. Community policing needs to be more used so that the officers come in contact with people in the neighborhood and are seen as good guys. And they are good guys, but they need to be seen that way.
Well, your bill, as we said, was presented the final day of the session. You and your colleagues will return to Washington on the 6th of the new year. What have you been hearing?
Well, I was mentioning it to Chairman Goodlatte of the Judiciary Committee. He knew about the Scott Conyers bill going through, and of course he had to acquiesce to that to have it go on the floor with a voice vote and pass. And possibly he will go further, and that our bill does have more from the law enforcement perspective and more data and doesn't have any possible loopholes. So I think there's a possibility to have a hearing. And I would like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to be at that hearing. He's couldn't be a better witness. But like you mentioned, what Ben Chella says is good, and those are things that can help.
Congressman Steve Cohen, representative for Tennessee's 9th District, which includes Memphis. Congressman Cohen, thank you so much for speaking with us.
You're very welcome.